Let's all say amen.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but that song is appropriate. Because there are times that life and the challenges and the issue and the problems in life can put a hole in your cup. Amen. And before you know it, that cup is empty. And that's why we need to assemble on the Lord's Day, that the Lord can restore our soul. You know, we come together, we come to worship God. That's what God commands, that we worship Him. But a byproduct of my worshiping Him is getting strength from His word that allows me to deal with those challenges, those issues, and those problems that will not go away by themselves. Yeah, they're there. But with help from the Lord through His word, it allows me to deal with those things that sometimes it seems like they're just too big for us. Yeah, and I don't know where to go. And so I need to learn that there's only one source to go to, and that is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we may be strengthened. Thank you, Brother Anthony, and thank all our brothers for serving thus far in our worship service. I want to just share this to those that are visiting with us on this morning. I'd just like to remind myself and us our purpose for being here. As Luke wrote in Acts chapter 2, he said, "And they continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer." Those are four acts. When we assemble, we have apostles' doctrine. We will look at that on this morning. Fellowship is when I give back to God a portion of that which God has blessed me with, and I do it cheerfully. And then he said, in breaking the bread, we commune with the Lord. Our minds should reflect back on the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. We also pray to God. Men pray to God. Yeah. Asking God, making requests, supplications to God. And then we find that we also sing. Yeah, without the use of mechanical instruments. Yeah, the Bible says praising God. We do that with the fruit of our lips, Hebrews 13. And the Bible says having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. I want you to know, if you're visiting with us this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, no one is saved until they are added to the church. Amen? Amen? And so my hope this morning, if you're sitting in the audience this morning, that you'll listen to God's word. And at the end of my message this morning, I'm going to share with you specifically. We have five acts of worship, but there are five acts that one must do in order for them to become a Christian, a child of God. No one is saved from their past sins until you obey the Lord. And Jesus said in John 8, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. No one that die in their sins can go to heaven. Amen? Yeah. We're in Titus chapter 1. This letter was selected by myself as the next book for the congregation to study together, because it is relevant and able to be applied to our situation here at Highland Heights. Yes, a minister here. Paul left the preacher in Crete. And my title this morning, Paul told him, left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. Amen? Yeah, that's the subject. That's the text this morning. So you meet me in Titus chapter 1. On the morning, we'll be looking at Titus's letter. In the afternoon, we'll have a lesson that supports or connects with the morning message. Left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. Paul begins the letter by identifying himself and who he was. The Bible says Paul wrote to Titus, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. See, Paul first wanted Titus to know, I am a servant of God. All of us that are Christians, we are servants of God. Yeah, and we all should be serving God. We have ministry set up that allows us to serve through the congregation. Also, we can serve others ourselves. Paul wanted Titus to know, I am first and foremost a servant of God. Yeah, all I want to be, I want to just be a servant of God. Paul also let him know that I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, selected by Christ to be an apostle. And he said it was according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And godliness, simple definition would be doing that which is well-pleasing to God. Your godliness is when I do that which pleases God. Paul says something that's very important to all of us. He said, in hope of eternal life, with God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Yeah. Christians should live righteously and with the hope of eternal life. Yeah. However, one must know and be obedient to the truth of God's word. Yeah, I can't go to heaven if I don't know the will of God and if I don't do the will of God. Yeah, we have the hope of eternal life, where Paul said to Titus that God that cannot lie, God promised eternal life before even the world began. What is a promise, Brother Stroud? A promise is simply a statement telling what one will definitely do. Yeah, God said, Paul said, you live right, you have the hope of eternal life. One day we all gonna die, amen? Yeah, Hebrews 9:27 let us know that we all gonna die. But it's the condition we die in, yeah, that is most important. Did I die doing the will of God to the best of my ability? Did I learn what God's will is? Yeah. And then Paul told him, but has in due time manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Paul said God had manifest or made known his word to me, and I do it through preaching. Yeah. So that's what we do. We preach. Amen? Amen. Yeah. How we feeling? Are we feeling okay this morning?
Amen.
All right. It's quiet up in here. Quiet. Yeah. There's some amens going on up in here. Yeah, let me know you're here. Yeah. Paul writing to Titus. Said, look here, man. God made known to me his word that I preach, and God committed it unto me. Any preacher that preaches the word of God, God commits to you through his word, his commands. The preacher's job is to preach what the word of God says. Amen?
Amen.
Then he got personal. He says to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. He said, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. There are three things that we need in life, and Paul shared that spiritually with Titus. One, we need God's grace. Yeah. What is God's grace? God's grace is when God is favorable toward us. Yeah. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Let me show you that. How God works when you find the word grace. In Genesis chapter 6, I want us to see this. And this is only time when we see people say, well, I want to see God's grace. Well, understand God, as I see it, God's grace is connected. In Genesis chapter 6, and the verse is, well, I'm going to start at verse number 6. I want God to know that when God, sometimes when we don't do what's right, Genesis 6, I may need to start at verse 4 so we see it. I don't want to make an assumption. The Bible says, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And watch what the Bible says. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Mm. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Mm. God, understand, God looks at the heart of all of us. And God knows what type of heart we have. God looked down on these group of people. And the Bible says, and the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continuing. Then the Bible says, and it repented God, verse 6. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. See, when we don't live right, it grieves God. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Mm. And God said, sorrowed me. But notice what verse number 8 says. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Yeah. We want to live such that we find grace in the eyes of the Lord. How we find grace? Look at verse number 22. The Bible says, this God told Noah what he wanted to do in verse 13. He wanted him to build an ark. He told him how to build it, what to build it out of. And the Bible says in verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. What I connect from that is that when you do the will of God, God shows you grace.
No.
But as a responsibility I have to serve God to the best of my ability. That don't mean, yeah, we're going to fail. That's why 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, when we sin, we go back to God. We all going to sin.
Yeah.
But we still need God's grace. And Paul said, not only that, understand you're going to need mercy. Mercy is the outward showing of sympathy from God. Sometimes God simply needs to show us some mercy. Yeah, not justice. We're going to get that when this life is over. But right now, all of us need mercy. Lord, I need some sympathy from you. I need you to look down on me, show me some pity. Lord, you know what I'm going through. You know what I'm dealing with. Lord, I need some mercy from you. If you give me some mercy, let me have that peace. Peace is a pleasing relationship with God through Jesus. Yeah. I want to have a relationship with God such that I'm doing the will of God and our relationship. We are in harmony. How you be in harmony? When I do the will of God. That's why I hope for eternal life. Paul said that. Yeah, so we know, and it's right in the Titus, excuse me. You're my son after the common faith. And I understand this. We have people in the audience this morning. There is only one faith. Yeah, there's no such thing as your faith and my faith. There's only
one.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you, we may have someone in the audience saying, well, I have my faith. I'm a Baptist and I'm a Catholic. No, there is only, yeah, according to the Bible. Yeah. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 3, because that's necessary for us here, Highland Heights. He said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said there's one body, one Spirit, even as you called in one hope of your calling. The one body is nothing but the church. Yeah. There's one Holy Spirit, and he called us to one hope. Our hope is eternal life. Then he says, there's one Lord, there's one Jesus.
One faith.
He's Lord over all. He said, there's one faith. There's only one baptism. There's no such thing as a christening of a child. You are baptized for the remission of your sin. There's only one baptism.
That's right.
Yeah. You here today and you say, well, I got baptized when I was in the baptism, there's only one baptism. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right.
Amen.
He says, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there's only one faith. There's only one faith that we have. And we want Paul to talk to Titus about that common faith. Then he gets to my subject title on this morning. He said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordained elders
in every city,
as I had appointed thee. That's my subject. Left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. Yeah. So let's look at what does that mean, set in order? The word order in the text means a setting right again what had become defective. Now remember now, Paul established the church in Crete. But he had to leave Titus, the preacher, in Crete to set things in order. Yeah. It was defective. The word defective is having a problem or fault that prevents something from working correctly. They had things going on in Crete that was keeping the work from going further. That's why Paul told Titus, set things in order. Yeah, that's the preacher's responsibility. Set in order. Mm-hmm. Make it right. Here at Highland Heights, we got to get right. We got to be right. And we got to do right. Mm-hmm. That's my responsibility. Mm-hmm. I'm the preacher. Mm-hmm. I'm the set thing. I'm doing what he told Titus to do. Mm-hmm. Set things in order. And he said the word warning. The word warning means to be without something that is needed to be lacking. Paul gave Titus two action items. Two of them. Yeah. One, set things in order. Number two, those things you set in order, those things that are lacking. What's lacking? He said to him what's lacking. An ordained elders in every city. Mm-hmm. As I had appointed you. That's my responsibility. The Apostle Paul left the preacher in leadership to supply the needed teaching. And as men show their qualification to add them to the leadership of the church, as they were fit to teach and to lead in the work of the Lord. Paul told Titus, that you are in leadership. Set things in order and ordain elders in every church. I'm saying to this congregation, we need elders in this church. We need men that are willing to be qualified. And I'll talk about that more next week. But we need men first have a desire to serve this congregation. Yeah. That's not the preacher's response. Set and ordain elders, plural. Can't have one. Must be a plurality of men that qualify to help in the spiritual leadership of the church. Amen? I need help. Amen. I need spiritual help in leading this congregation. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. And let me say this. I want to ordain those men, but again, those men have to have a desire and already be doing the work before you are appointed. I need brothers here. We'll talk about the qualification next week that you'll know what is necessary. Let me just say this here to all of us. I was talking to Sister Linda and Sister Sarah, had smiles on their faces this morning. Yeah, and along with Sister Stroud. Yeah, they were smiling because the Astros are in the playoffs again. Yeah, you say, hey, man, we can like sports. I like sports too myself. Yeah. But Sister Stroud got so involved, Sister Hill, she had me take the Astros and the Rangers and the Mariners. She wanted to see what the Mariners and the Rangers were doing. They say, look, ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But and those are the fans. I'm saying we need some things to be able to enjoy and enjoy. So she was up there yesterday. I went up there. I said, babe, what did it look like? She said, well, she said, Verlander doing it. I said, he's doing it tonight. Yeah. And I said, what score? She said, was it 1-0, babe? I said, say 1-0. Say 1-0. And one of her favorites, Linda, is Abreu. She loved some of, not the Jose, but the Brian Abreu, the pitcher. Yeah, because she said he bad. He's a bad man. And they put that ball in his hand last night, and he closed the door. The point I'm making here is this. We see those baseball players, Altuve, Alvarez, Verlander. None of them were born baseball players. Mm-hmm. They were born babies, just like you and I. However, they developed themselves and became professional players. Mm-hmm. We need men here that are willing to develop. That's my responsibility, to develop you through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That you can be an elder for the Lord's church.
Amen.
Yeah. One thing, those men developed themselves, started at a young age, some of them started at a young age. But they developed themselves. Somebody taught them,
right,
shared with them how to hit the ball, how to catch the ball, how to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They were developed.
That's right.
We need men here that have the desire to be developed. Yeah. And my development of you is through the Word of God. I'll talk about that next week. Talking about spiritual leadership. Let me share this about leadership. Our spiritual leadership. For reasons well known to lawyers and students of common and statutory law, churches cannot hold property in the name of the church organization. Real estate and other similar properties must be deeded to trustees who then hold such real estate in trust for the church.
Mm-hmm.
This is a legal and material matter, wholly unrelated to the church and its functions. It is an arrangement to meet state and legal demands and is permissible and necessary because Christians are required to be in subjection to the civil law when this law is not in conflict with the law of God. Yeah. Romans 13 and 1, we ought to be in subjection. So we have trustees because it is legal. And we want to be in consistency with the law of the land. But such a group has no spiritual significance and must not be confused with the divine organization set out in the New Testament.
Amen.
It is neither scriptural nor permissible for such a group to assume control of the church.
Right.
It violates the divine arrangement set out in the New Testament. It sets up and empowers an unscriptural group to operate in an unauthorized manner and without New Testament precedent.
There you go.
Yeah. When you look in the Word of God, you didn't have a church building.
Mm-hmm.
You did not have trustees is not a biblical term. It's not in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The leadership of the church God identified.
Yes, he did.
God identified. You have the minister, preacher, you have elders, you have deacons.
There you go. That's it.
And those who claim to adhere to New Testament teaching must reject such an effort. Mm-hmm. The practice springs from a confusion of the church and the church property.
Now.
Let me give you, illustrate an example, but we'll see this. One of the members came up to the preacher. He said, "Preacher, yes, sir, what you going to do about the kitchen?" The preacher said, "What you mean?" He said, "What are you going to do about the kitchen?" Preacher thought about it. Preacher asked him a question. He said, "When was the kitchen baptized?" And the member said, "What do you mean? When was the kitchen baptized?" And the preacher said to him, he said, "Because leadership has responsibility to the church. Mm-hmm. And in order to get in the church, you got to be baptized.
That's right.
So the member said, "I'm talking about the kitchen in the church building." And the preacher said, Oh, that responsibility belongs to the trustees. The trustees are responsible for the church building. Leadership is responsible for the church."
Yeah.
Amen.
Make it plain.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got to understand what our roles are. Leadership is responsible for the church, those that are baptized.
There you go.
Trustees have responsibility of the building and fund, assist with the funds.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. That was a question that was asked in the Bible. They was trying to get smart with Jesus. But still, it was a good question. They asked Jesus, chief priest in Mark 11, 27. They asked Jesus, they got together, the priest, read that. Mark, get your Bible, Mark chapter 11. I want to read Jesus so you'll know who is doing the talking. Yeah, verse 27. It's a good question. The Bible says in verse 27, I got 28 up for you. It said, "And they came, and they come again to Jerusalem. And he was walking in the temple," Jesus was. "There came come to him the chief priests, scribes, and the elders." And then verse 28 is what I have up. "And say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do those things?" When we do something in the church, we got to have authority.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to have authority. So what is authority? Authority is the right to exercise power. When Titus was left in Crete, Paul appointed him. He gave him the power. Yeah, to set things in order. Yeah. So my question to anyone, where's your authority?
No.
Where's your scripture?
Okay.
We got to have scripture.
Yes. Okay.
And as the old people say, give me script and you keep your lip. Setting things in order. That's my responsibility.
Amen.
So how do we do that? We do it. Paul gave the Corinthian church the prescription. How do we do that? Paul said, now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. If we study together the word of God, we ought to be of the same mind. Because I'm going to teach it book, chapter, and verse, and I'm going to teach it where it's simple and it's logical. We got to all speak the same thing.
Yes, sir.
And there ought not be no divisions.
No division.
Among us. What division, Brother Stroud? A division is a dividing among members of a group that occurs because they disagree on something. We all speak the same thing. There ought not be no division among us. Why? Because we got all we need to solve any scriptural problem. Amen. Spiritual problem in church. Give me book, chapter, and verse. That's what authority is. It's in the word of God. What God has said. And so when we get in these little pockets, and we get in these little groups, and we start, now don't think I don't know what they're going on. I wasn't born yesterday. Maybe the day before, but not yesterday. And let me say this to all of us. Say this to all of us. It's my responsibility to set things in order. And it's my responsibility to share with you what I'm doing is from the word of God. You know, sometimes you have people that will, you know, that's how division starts. People that come up and they say, I don't agree with that. Where's your Bible? Where's your scripture? You ain't got to give me two too many. Give me one.
There's one.
And you rightly divide it. We need to stop that. We need to love one another.
Amen.
Paul said, not only that we be perfectly joined together. Perfectly means to form something by bringing people or things together. It means to knit. Holland Heights, we need to be knitted together. The thing that knits us is the word of God. And my love for God, and I want to say this to every member that's still here at Holland Heights, your love for this congregation. Because all of us had an opportunity to go somewhere else, but we chose, when the doors got open again, to come back here.
Right.
For that reason, we are needed together. Now we need to work together. Paul told him, I left you in Crete. We're going to talk about these people in Crete. Them people in Crete were something else. You better know it. Paul called them liars. They were something. They was evil. We may have some tolerance. You go out and you lie and you evil. Well, it's in the scripture. All I can do is preach the text.
Yes, sir.
But I'm saying to us, I need to work on myself. You know, we sing this song, Restore My Spirit, Lord. It needs restored. Mm-hmm. Sometime I got to look into myself.
That's it.
And see where I am coming short of God. And then I have to let, I thank Brother Floyd for sharing this in a lesson. Very good lesson when he talked about humility. And I hadn't seen that definition before, and he brought it out. He said, humility is absence of self. Yeah. Move yourself out of the way. Yeah. Sometimes, some of us, it's all about me. Yeah. That's why I can't do for the Lord, because it's about
me.
Yeah. But humility begins with me removing myself out of the way. So what? I can be knitted together.
That's right.
So I want to say to all of us, Highland Heights, as I close, we're going to set things in order. We're going to do things according to the Bible. We're going to do things book, chapter, and
verse.
That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Authority comes from two sources. Either it comes from the Godhead, that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, or it comes from those inspired men, such as Paul, such as James, such as Peter, Luke, that wrote the word. They was led by the Holy Spirit. That's where our authority comes from. And that's what we're going to follow here at Highland Heights. And I hope that you will say to yourself, I want to be a part of that group. I want to be knitted together. I want to put all our oars in the water. We move this church forward. We identify men that we see as prospective elders. Those men desire, because my second responsibility in setting things in order, those things that are lacking, we need elders at Highland Heights. We need men that want to hit the ball, that want to catch the ball, that want to throw the ball. Yeah. Yeah. We need men that will sacrifice themselves to care for those that are members here. We got many elderly members here. They need caring for. Yeah. We need elders to help me serve this congregation. Set things in order. Things that I want. I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. Yeah. I'm going to do my part. And I'm hopeful that you'll get on board and want to do your part. Work together. Put away your differences. Yeah. And most times, you know, when people, oftentimes, I've learned this in the church. Oftentimes, when people argue and don't get along, it's about personalities, yeah, and opinions. We're going to do this, Highland Heights. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
We're going to do it together through the Word of God. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, how do you become a Christian? Mm. Yeah. The Bible teaches five things that you must do. I have them on the slides. I'll save it to next week. Time is up. But what that one verse tell, I can share that part on it. I try to get my plan of salvation from the letter which I'm reading. And what Paul reminded them of, he reminded us. He said to them, he said, for we, talking about himself too, ourselves also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another.
Mm.
Yeah. So if you're here in this audience this morning, you've been that way. We've all been that way. Yeah. What Paul shared with them, he said, but after that, the kindness and the love of our Savior toward man appeared.
Right.
Yeah. And so you're here in the audience today. I want you to know what I'm sharing with you now. God's love and kindness is appearing to you right now in the form of me preaching God's word. And so what you must do, what the Bible teaches, he said, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So what regeneration mean, Brother Stroud? It means being born again. It's a spiritual birth. It involves the water and the spirit, John 3:5. If you're in the audience this morning and you're not a Christian according to the Bible, the only way you become a Christian, you have to be born again. You got to be washed in the water. Yeah. You got to be washed in the water. Yeah. You'll come down here this morning. So what I do, Pastor Ralph, first you got to hear the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. I'm sharing with you now the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You have to believe that. Then you have to repent of your sin, meaning those things that you've been doing that haven't been consistent with God, you have to repent of those things. Then you'll come down here this morning, you'll make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after that, we're going to wash you, we're going to baptize you in water for the forgiveness of all your sins. Then the Lord adds you to the church of Christ, not man, the Lord does. He has the authority. In the name of Jesus Christ, we baptize you. Yeah. So now you're a Christian. You can have the hope of heaven if you live faithfully. If there's anyone today that would like to respond to the message in any way, shape, or form, we bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much for your patience.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.